and age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. How great is our God. Amen. We'll sing one more, number 16. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace that always hungry for. Oh, our hearts always hungry for. Faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne, and you are the one that we praise. You are the one adore. You give the healing and grace that's always hungry for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. And you are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. The healing and grace Good morning. What a beautiful morning it is. We've just been so blessed through this winter and another beautiful day today. A special welcome with Devin and Emily and their family who's here, several up here and maybe some others in the back there. It's an exciting day for Cassandra's baptism. We're excited for the family, so welcome to all of you. A couple other announcements that I need to go over before we go on with the service. Christian Education Committee, most of you should know this, but you'll be having a meeting after church today, I think in the Sunday school wing, one of the rooms down there, so thank you for that. Most of the announcements, I'm just going to let you read. One thing that is not in the bulletin this morning, the Moore Committee, around Valentine's Day, they always have a treat that they give to our elderly. So if you're in each congregation, should be doing this. So if you're 80 years old and above, then Jennifer Masterson will try to find you after church today with a heart-shaped box of chocolates, which chocolate's always good, right? So thanks, Jennifer, for serving on that committee. We do appreciate it. As I said, the rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you with all of our hearts. And you are the one we worship and adore. You are the one, Lord God, who gives your healing and grace. As you pour out upon us and within us your goodness by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, Father, we have so much to praise you for. 10,000 reasons and then forevermore and far beyond. But Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for your incredible plan of redemption that comes to us through Christ alone. And for the joy of being in this sanctuary as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come, Lord God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and we ask that you fill this place with your glory and your goodness, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together for our opening hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 139. Thank you. Amen. That was some beautiful singing, wasn't it? Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you are seated. Okay, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns here right now. So certainly, as I said in the announcements, a special welcome to Devin and Emily and family for Cassandra's baptism. She's awake. Couple other things, just an update on Dawson Beats. He's the senior from Scotland that was in the bad accident last Saturday night, and he's moved into the rehab part of the hospital up there at Avera McKinnon, and is coming along. So we praise the Lord for that. Justin Plooster, not sure if you're here today, are you? He had the carpal tunnel surgery on Friday, and he's coming along okay. Sandra Fisher, Don and Sandra. Prayers for Sandra. She has knee replacement on Tuesday of this week. But also just prayers for the family. It was a week ago that her twin sister, they live in Minnesota, her husband passed away. And then, where's Trish at? What day was it? Friday. Then Sandra's older sister, they live in Arizona, her husband had a massive stroke and passed away. So sort of a tough time right now for the family. My dad was able on Monday afternoon to move into a care center in Sioux Falls for rehab, and gaining little by little, the hope is that he can go back to the assisted living where my mom is at. So thanks for all your prayers for them. Anything else? Lee. The funeral was yesterday. Okay, I tried looking and I never could find that. Okay, I continued prayers for Cole Sortine's family, Dad Roland and Mom. Jean. Okay, yeah, the funeral was yesterday, I guess, a young man that passed away. Okay, anybody else over here? Over here? Well, I think Donna Friesen has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Donna. I thought maybe Skyla was going to say, but she probably didn't know, huh? Okay. All right, let's bow our heads, please, in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time where we come with our joys, birthdays, and blessings, and baptism today, and anniversaries, probably some that weren't mentioned, but we just give you praise for your goodness in all of these areas of our lives. We do lift up Roland and James Swartheim and the family as they are, I'm sure, grieving. And Father, we ask for the comfort of your spirit to them through this week and the weeks and months to come. Lord, again, we thank you, Father, for Jesus. Where would we be? Your word says we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. But we do have hope in the resurrection through Christ, and we thank you for that. We lift up Dawson Beats and his family as he's coming along well after the accident. We thank you for your mercies upon him in such an incredible way. We pray, Lord, for Justin as he recovers from his surgery, and for others, Lonnie Graber, Scott Plath, Elton Herbolt, we lift these up and continue to thank you for your power at work in each of their lives, renewing their strength, Lord. We want to pray for Sandra Fisher for the surgery this Tuesday for her knee replacement. And Lord, we ask that you go before her, that you take hold of the surgeon's hands and work through them in this surgery. Thank you for being with Sandra and Don and the family as they've lost two brother-in-laws in just a week apart, and for your comfort to them. Lord, we pray for our nation, as we do every day and every week as we gather corporately. We ask, Father, for the working and moving of your Spirit across this land, that you would bring revival to this nation. Lord, that as a nation we would fall on our knees in repentance and ask for your forgiveness. Father, we so desperately need the outpouring of your Spirit, and we thank you for what you're doing behind the scenes that we're not even aware of. I want to lift up, Lord, those that either are or soon will be calving and lambing, and those that work with the hogs, and just the challenge of the livestock and all that that entails. Give them strength, watch over them, and keep them safe. Father, we do pray for our troops. We thank you for those that serve our nation so faithfully here at home and abroad. Bless them and watch over them too, we ask. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from John chapter 15. Those that are visiting, we don't pass the plates. We have an offering box in the back. If you're wondering, that's where it's at. But John 15, verses 12 and 13, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for one's friend," for his friend. Of course, we know Jesus fulfilled that perfectly. Instead of the doxology today, we'll stand and we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer together. So if you'd stand, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this you, Father, for such a beautiful prayer that you have given to us to pray, to sing. For Jesus, thine is the power and the glory forever. And we love you, and we bring our offerings and our tithes into this storehouse. Thanks as an offering of thanks from ourselves. Thank you for the strength that you give us to even be able to work, Lord. Forgive us for days when we grumble about it, and we should be thankful that we're even able to do it. And so we ask you to bless these offerings for the work of your kingdom and multiply them that your word can be proclaimed throughout the earth in Jesus' name. And Father, we do confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and we will, except for Devin and Emily, we will have Cassandra's baptism now. If you want to come, please. Yeah, we can stand right here. So most of you know Devin and Emily. I mentioned what they do here not too many weeks ago when we had their membership, but they live northwest of Olivet, up there a ways, and Devin drives truck, and they have a hog confinement on their property, and other livestock too. So they are busy. I want to read first from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. It says this: people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. So I have the four questions. These are vows that you're taking before the Lord on Cassandra's behalf. The first one is, do you desire to have your child baptized today? And do you understand that through this sacrament of baptism that we are also dedicating Cassandra unto the Lord? If so, answer, we do. Will you instruct and encourage her to renounce the powers of evil? And will you teach her the word of God so that she may be led to profess Christ as her Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. And do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, answer, we do. And fourth, do you promise according to the grace given you to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help her to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating his presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that she may affirm her baptism? If so, answer, we do. Thank you. There's a response here. I'll read first, and a response from the congregation. The Bible instructs us to diligently teach God's word to our children. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love and care to this precious child about to be dedicated to the Lord through baptism as she grows in her knowledge of Christ? We promise our love, thank you. And we have a pledge from our Christian Education Committee. Mark Guth Miller is the superintendent of that.
As a representative of the Christian Education Committee, we pledge to provide an environment within this local church where Cassandra can be taught the Word of God, where she can grow up spiritually, and where she can begin to develop a personal and intimate relationship with God as her Heavenly Father, and with Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. We would like to present Cassandra and her family with this baptism candle as a remembrance of this special day. And we have a little children's first Bible to give to Cassandra in the hopes that her love for God's word will begin at an early age.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, put her head here and up the other way. The other way, yeah. There we go. Hey, hi. Can you put her legs around my arm? Yeah, around. We'll get you yet there, huh? Won't we? Yeah. You can come closer here if you want. Cassandra, Corrine, Melhoff, as we are here to dedicate you unto the Lord through this sacrament of baptism, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious little one that you have given to this family. Such a beautiful little girl, and we lift her up to you in thanksgiving and praise. Father, I know the pregnancy was not easy, but you brought him through. You gave him the strength, and here she is on this day, her baptism. So thank you for blessing Cassandra. Lord, for being the strength of her life, for every little muscle and cell and tissue and every part of her body to grow and develop according to your will and your plan and your purpose. As you knit her together, your word says, in her mother's womb, and she is fearfully and wonderfully made. And we rejoice in that. I ask, Father, for your hand of protection upon this family. I pray for Devin and Emily, Lord, that you guide them by your Spirit as they endeavor to bring Cassandra up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Thank you for blessing them and their family here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the things we do here is I bring her down and we're going to sing to you. Is that okay? Yeah? We're going to sing Jesus Loves You. Okay.
Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, the Bible tells me so.
She was perfect. I'll get your certificate here. There you go. Congratulations. You can listen to me. Amen. Such an exciting day. Well, let's have the children come forward, please, now for the Kingdom Kids time.
What are you going to do?
Well, you got to wait and see. Never know, do you? You never know what I'm going to do you? Well, good morning, boys and girls. Come on up. I'm gonna tell you in just a second. Everybody up here? Good. Well, do you ever get like hungry during church?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I do too. So I thought I would bring my snack today, and instead of me doing our little sermonette, we would eat a snack. What do you think about that? Oh, good. Let's see what I have here. Oh, but, count my crackers. 1, 2, 3, 4. I just have 5 peanut butter crackers and only 2 oranges. Let me see how many I have here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. I think there's about 29 of you. I'm afraid I don't have enough. We can share. Oops. I don't know. I think if you would get just even a little bit, it wouldn't be enough, right? But you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of a story in the Bible. You know, Jesus and the disciples, they were tired because Jesus had been preaching to a lot of people, and he'd been taking care of them and healing them, and so they were going to go rest. So they went in the boat to the other side, and when they were going to rest, but when they got there, there was a lot of people there because the people wanted to see Jesus more and they wanted to see him again. And they brought their friends who needed Jesus to heal them. So you know what Jesus did? Instead of going to rest because he was tired, he had all the people come and he continued to teach them and tell them all about God and heal those that needed healing. And it was for a long time, and then this is all found in Matthew chapter 14. So then when he was all done, it was getting dark. And it says, and the disciples came to Jesus in chapter 14, verse 13 or 15, and they said to Jesus, Jesus, send the people away. Send them away so that they can go into the nearby town and get food to feed their families. And Jesus said, they don't need to go away. Jesus said to the disciples, you give them something to eat. Wow, guess what? All they had was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's all they had. So the disciples were like, Jesus, seriously, there's like 5,000 people here, not counting their wives and children. We just have that much. How can we feed them? And what did Jesus do? He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he lifted up the food to heaven, and he prayed to God. And guess what happened? You know what happened. He told the disciples, pass out the food. And they passed out the food, and what kept happening to the food? It kept, like, growing. It was like multiplying. God created a miracle. And this little basket grew, and it fed 5,000 people. Men, it says in the Bible. Not only them, but their children and their wives. And not only that, when they were done, when everybody was full, do you remember what they did next? Jesus said, pick up the leftovers. And how many were left over? 12 baskets full of food. Now, is that not something else? Would that have been not so cool to have been there and seen that? That's our Jesus we're talking about. That's our God. And you know what? Boys and girls, that story that Jesus told, it was real. I mean, it wasn't a story. This really happened. You know what it tells us? That God cares about when you're hungry. He cares about everything about you. He cares about when you're sick. He cares about when you're sad. He cares about when you need something. He cares about you. He loves you. And the other thing it tells us, that whatever we have, we give it to God. And we ask and we pray to him, God, whatever this is all I have, but you are bigger and you are greater. And we ask him to help us. And guess what? He will. And he does. Okay? Well, I didn't have enough crackers to give all of you. But this says, in love forever. Do you know who is in love with you forever? God is. He's in love with you forever. And this is just a tiny little thing that Pastor Mike wants you to have, and the church, to tell you that we love you. It's a heart of chocolate. Okay? Is that all right? Okay, let's pray, and then I'll give you these. Fold your hands, close your eyes. Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful that, Jesus, you did so many miracles in the Bible. You loved us so much. Even when people were just plain hungry, you cared, and you provided for them. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you provide for us, you care about us and all these boys and girls. Help us to remember today, tomorrow, and every day that you love us. And I pray for these boys and girls, wherever they go this week, that they would shine your light to others and let others know that you love them. And help us to be kind and caring about our friends this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so you can get one of these, and then you go over to Denise, all right?
Thank you, Anne.
You're welcome.
We're going to sing number 520 while the children are going back to their seats, "The Longer I Serve Him." Let's bow our heads, please. Father, your love is incredible. Your word, we thank you for your word, the very living word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between joint and marrow, soul and spirit. Your word is a divider of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And we look into it now. It is truth, and we thank you for it. And Father, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, that my words would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but that they would be by the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 15. Last week we were in verses 21 through 28, and this just follows on, so I'm going to start in verse 29, Matthew 15, verse 29. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up into the hills and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the dumb, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the dumb speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." His disciples answered, Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan. Amen. All right, so just a quick review on last week. What we saw last week is Jesus went from Galilee, which is northern Israel. He went probably about 50 miles up. One commentary says through some rugged mountain passages into the region of Tyre and Sidon, a Gentile area. He was going there, if we'd look at Mark's gospel, the parallel of this, to get some rest, to get a break from the crowds in Israel. But didn't happen. It did not happen. So as he's there, right away this woman, the Syrophoenician woman, comes to him who had a demon-possessed daughter. And she knows he can help, and she's determined with persistent faith before him. And he does, Jesus does deliver this little girl. Can't go into all that. You can listen online to last week's sermon. But because I got to start today with where we're at. Yeah, we have an outline in the bulletin. Some of you are newer, maybe you don't know it. There's blanks to fill in if you would like to. If not, that's fine. I'm going to start first here. Jesus moved with compassion. He was. Many times throughout Scripture, we find where it says he was moved with compassion. In verse 32 of the text that I read, it says this: Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. Mark's gospel, it says, I have compassion on the multitude. Same thing. Compassion. This is just a dictionary definition I'm going to give you now, though, of it. But it speaks well to really what is compassion? A feeling of deep sympathy and sometimes sorrow accompanied with it, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the pain and remove the cause. That's compassion. Not just feeling sorry, but wanting to do something about it. It comes from within, doesn't it? If Jesus was moved with compassion, then we as his church ought to be as well. Just a very recent example of that. I was thinking of, so last Sunday morning as the kids and we were coming to Sunday school, the kids, high schoolers, were just finding out about this accident that happened the night before. Dawson, who was the quarterback of our football team, Menlo Scotland, this year. So it was a more serious class than normal. Some tears, because the reports that were coming initially were not good at all. In the afternoon, then the word came there was going to be a prayer service over at Scotland. And I went. I think most all of our high schoolers were over there at the church. It was truly incredible. I bet there was 100 youth there, 50 adults at least. To me, that is being moved with compassion. We were all very concerned. What happened? How is he? What can we do? What's the most important thing we can do? Come together in prayer. And we did that night. It was so neat to see. Moved with compassion. Jesus, in Matthew's gospel anyway, and I just did a quick count, so not saying this is absolute. What I found were five times in Matthew's gospel where the phrases are, we are told he was moved with compassion. What we just read in verse 32, I have compassion for the people. If we'd go back to chapter 14 and verse 14, You count what Anne talked about with the children, and that there was 12 basketfuls left, okay? So this is where there's seven. Matthew 14:14, he had compassion and he healed their sick. Matthew 9:36, again, he saw the people saying they were harassed like sheep with no shepherd. Who was harassing them? The Pharisees were harassing them, putting all this legalism on them. And he had compassion on them. Matthew 18:27, Matthew 20:34. This was when the two blind men by Jericho came to him asking for healing. It says he had compassion on them and healed them. Excuse me. We just sang about compassion in our opening hymn. The first verse, that great is thy faithfulness, comes from Lamentations chapter 3. And the part of the first verse, thou changest not thy what? They fail not. You fill in the blank. I'll say it again. Thou changest not thy? Yeah, you got it. Thy compassions, they fail not. He's moved with compassion. That's why he redeemed us. That's why he pours out his Spirit upon us. So let's go to the second point there. So, and we're going to see his compassion to the Gentile people. Back to verse 29. So Jesus left there. All right. He was up in Tyre and Sidon, that region, just straight north up from Israel. Today it is Lebanon, the little country of Lebanon. So he leaves Lebanon. He's going to come over going east to the country today that is Syria. So I don't know. To me, I guess, you know, ever since we're to Israel, this all, which has been 6 years ago, 7 years ago, it all is so real. It's so real because we were there. We were in northern Israel. We were on the border of Israel and Syria up there on the Golan Heights one day. And sure enough, we were all looking over into Syria and we hear all this machine gun fire starting up and the tour guide's like, get on the bus, get on the bus. Let's move out of this area. So Jesus, he'd gone about 50 miles up into Lebanon. Then, verse 29, he left there, went along the Sea of Galilee, and then went up on a mountainside and sat down. So that's the picture. Lebanon, he's going to come through Syria, and then he's going to come down on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River as well. So Mark's gospel tells us he's going in the area or the region of the Decapolis. So just a little history, okay, on it. So we know where we're at. Decapolis. Deca. Deca, as far as numbers, means how many years or what number anyway? 10. A decade is 10 years, right? Decapolis. Deca. Decapolis is a region of 10 cities. That's where he's going. Present day country of Jordan. All right? So you get the picture of what's happening. Last Sunday, let me touch on that real quick. There was this woman coming, I told you, for healing for her daughter. And Jesus first, it says what? He answers her not a word, sort of ignores her. The disciples come and say, Jesus, would you just send this lady away? The Bible says she's shouting out after him, Jesus, Son of David, or Lord, Son of David. Disciples, send her away. Well, so he says to them, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? In other words, she's not a part of the covenant because she's a Gentile. And she comes then, Lord, please help me. And Jesus, what's he say? It's not right to take the crumbs and give them to the dogs. The little dogs, not right to take the children's bread and give them to the little dogs. The little dogs were the pet dogs around the table. They had pets too at that time. And what she answers back in faith, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And as we talked last week, what was her need? This woman's need was deliverance for her daughter, healing. We talked about how the bread represents that. Jesus, the bread of life, represents that. So I'm bringing that out because today he's still with the Gentiles. He's spending some weeks with them as he moved out of Israel up there. He's continuing to spread the crumbs, so to speak, that fall from the master's table. Because what's going to happen here? How does he show his compassion to the Gentiles? Letter A, if you're doing the blanks, his compassion is extended to them through healing. Verse 30, great crowds came to him. Mostly Gentile people. I'm sure there were some Jewish people in there, but the large majority, Gentiles, came to him what? Bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute. Can't speak, right? Many others. And they laid them at his feet. I mean, we're talking, as the scripture says, 4,000 men, plus women, plus children, easy. To me, 15,000 could have been there. This multitude, bringing them, laying there. He's healing them. This went on for how many days on this account?
Three
days, right. Matthew 14, it would appear just to be one day as you read through that. 3 days it's going on here. And they praised the God of Israel. Amazed, that word amazed, in the Greek, it means marveling in wonder. They were just, well, we would have been too. No human explanation for what was happening here. One commentary even brought out, as far as with the word, the crippled, that involved in that in the Greek, because we miss so much, right, of it in our English, were actually limbs growing out. Maybe someone had lost their arm or part of their leg. That's what's involved all in that word. So amazing miracles. And what was the result? They praised the God of heaven, the God of Israel. Excuse me. They praised the God of Israel. These were Gentile people who worshiped all kinds of false gods and idols. And they're believing that Jesus is the Messiah, God himself in the flesh. They had got it right. They didn't have all the religiosity, if I'd say that, that the Pharisees had put on the people. They just accepted it by simple faith. You know, as I was thinking about that, and it just took me back to our years with the Navajos there in northern Arizona, and I saw that so much with them, just simple faith. If that's what it says in the Bible, then that's what it is. Not arguing about this and that and twisting it and distorting it. Nope, that's what it is. And I thought about this one Navajo man during our years there. He's still alive. I actually just had a call from his wife just 2 weeks ago. His name is Roy. So he was not a believer most of the time we were there. He was involved in a lot of the traditional peyote religion of things. But his wife was a strong Christian. She came faithfully. Once in a while he'd come. So I was thinking of this because as I started out, you know, Jesus was hoping to go up there for a little break. And when this event I'm going to tell you about, it was about when Nathan was an eighth grader, our son. We were going through extreme health challenges in his life. Rachel was just a toddler. And Ann had to go down to Phoenix to be with Nathan in the hospital. Somebody had to be with him. I was home with Rachel, and I had a couple funerals in the midst of that. Just this is just a total side note. One time, I remember I'm on the phone with Ann or somebody, and Rachel's playing with a quarter, and she drops it, you know, the big phone plug-in, the big, like, square box that you'd plug in the outlet. She drops it in there. Sparks start flying. I'm like, ah, you know. Anyway. So eventually we got to bring Nathan home. I went down, got him. Phoenix, lot 3.5-4 hours down there and back in the same day. We're all just exhausted. Get home late at night. Just get in bed and the phone rings. Mike, this is Mary. They just live behind us, about from here to the parsonage away. We've been waiting all day for you to come home. I see your lights were just on. I'm sorry to bother you, but Roy is having a heart attack. We think he won't go to the hospital. Would you please come? This just shows it's nothing in ourselves. Did I feel like going? How I felt was no. Did I go? Yes. Okay, Lord, get over there, and he's in some major pain. He really is. And, whew, okay, Lord, well, we pray. I said, let's pray. Put my hands on his chest, start praying. All of a sudden, I mean, to all of our amazement, he just starts crying. He's speaking in Navajo, Dones Kaida, Dones Kaida. That means it doesn't hurt, it doesn't hurt. I'm healed, it's gone, it is gone. He sits up, he's this happy man. Mary, his wife's crying, I'm crying. What are we doing? What those Gentiles did, they praised the God of Israel. Father, thank you for your power, incredible here, healing. Why, the Navajos, they just, that's just how they sort of operate, just like that. And God met them in his sovereignty, according to his will. They praised the God of Israel. How else do we see Jesus extending his compassion here? Let her be to their daily needs. This is nothing great, nothing deep thinking here, really. To their daily needs. Verse 32, what does he do? He calls his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on these people. This crowd, they've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. They were in this remote place, remember? I do not want to send them away hungry, or they might collapse on the way from exhaustion. Now, some of you maybe have done a 3-day fast. The majority, I'm guessing, probably not. Right? If you even try a 1-day fast, that's tough enough. Even hard enough is, let's say, if you have your annual physical, I always try to get mine first thing in the morning, right? Because you got to fast from whatever midnight on, and by the time you get to that appointment, get through it all, stomach's growling, right? So 3 days, no food. They ran out because they didn't know. This was like a 3-day revival going on over there in that country of Jordan, the region of the Decapolis. They were seeing amazing things, and Jesus is moved with compassion to meet their needs, their daily needs. What a humbling thought. He cares about your daily needs, even down to your food. And he knows the numbers of hair on your head. He knows all that. The Bible tells us that. Some might think, and some maybe have said, well, he's got bigger problems to deal with than this little issue. No, he cares about that little issue. Whatever you think it is, he cares about it. And he wants to be involved in your life. We pray it. We just sung it in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. So what does he do? Sort of cool. He uses his disciples to help meet the need, doesn't he? He could have just snapped his finger. Whoa. He could have, but he didn't. What do you have? We need to feed the crowd. Well, we got 7 loaves of bread, a few small fish. But they didn't say what they said the first time. First time, just not long before, a couple months before probably, with the Jews, they were like, well, this is impossible, I'm paraphrasing. How's this going to work? They saw it work. This time, they just said, 7 loaves, a few small fish. He did it before. He can do it again, right? They knew he could. They had not forgotten. But the point of this here is, so often we feel so inadequate when we see different needs around us. Just use what God has given you. Do what God has given you to do, and let him do the rest. That's faith. right? If it's always, I got this one. Yep. And that's often when it gets bigger than we think and we realize, no, I don't have. So afterward, they picked up 7 basketfuls of the broken pieces. And it tells the number that ate were 4,000 besides women and children. So interesting deal here. Quick, before we go on to that last point. Chapter 14, they picked up 12 basketfuls. Here, they picked up 7 basketfuls. It's interesting to know, if you go in your concordance, look up both of those words in the Greek, they are 2 different Greek words. That's something. Oh, really? Yeah. The one in Matthew 14, basketful, is talking about a Jewish basket, and it's a little basket. 12 little basketfuls. It was still a lot. I'm not denying the miracle. I'm not that at all. We think, 7 basketfuls, same size basket as we read it, right? Not so. That word in the Greek is hampers, big baskets. 7 big basketfuls. You know where that big basket is used at another time in the New Testament? Is in Acts chapter 9, verse 25, when Paul was in the city of Damascus and they're wanting to kill him. And his friends with him had to lower him down in a basket outside the city wall for him to escape. That's how big that word basket in Matthew 15 can be for Paul to get in, and down he goes. So what Jesus did to the Jewish people in provision of a miracle, he did not short the Gentiles at all in provision for them. What was he showing prophetically? He was trying to get them to see, you know what? I'm not here just for you, Jewish people. I said last Sunday, yes, that was the channel through which God used for the Messiah to be born. But I came for God so loved the world. Yeah, we know John 3:16. He came for the world. And even when we get into Acts, after the resurrection, the day of Pentecost, and the church begins, and the years go on, and these Gentiles are getting saved, the leaders, the Jewish leaders, are having a hard time with that at first, aren't they? What? I don't know about this. Well, okay, at least if these Gentiles, if they're going to get saved and be believers, well, they got to be circumcised, right? And that's a whole other deal. But no, it's neat. Third point here. Well, let me back up that verse 39. It says, Jesus sent that crowd away, got into the boat, and went to the vicinity of Magadan. So he's coming, he's on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. He goes all the way across to the west side to this little village called Magadan, back to his own people. 3, are we moved with compassion? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Are we? Are we moved with compassion as we live our lives? That's who God is. This is one of his attributes. And he says it in Exodus, if you'd go there, when he put Moses in the cleft of the rock, remember? And he passed by in front of him. And what did he say? The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate, there it is, and gracious God. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And then it goes on. Yes, it's who God is. And if we are his children, he's put that within us. So, are we moved with compassion? We got to respond to the needs around us. It's that simple. Right where we live. We have visitors from other towns here today. Right where you live. Sometimes we think it's always got to go far away. Overseas, across the country, and we do that. We provide opportunity, but right where we live, moved with compassion. I'd asked permission. There's plenty of, to say this, of course, there's plenty of needs. Menno, Olivet, Scotland, Lesterville, Tabor, wherever we're at, Freeman, all around, there are big needs. In our communities, in our schools, I asked Tricia, I said, is it okay if I say this, Tricia? She said it was. Yeah, she's our guidance counselor. She knows, sees a lot. Confidential, yes. If something pricks your heart today, you could talk to her. She probably can't tell you the name, so don't ask her. Please, okay? If she tells you, yes, there is this family that could really use help with food right now, then, and maybe she'll get a gift certificate, give it to Trish. Or maybe there's this family needs clothes right now. This is their sizes. Give it to Trish. I don't mean to put it all on her. In the community, sometimes I'm aware, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes we see things, well, what can I do? Well, sometimes it takes getting together with some others to meet some of the needs. That's local. Then beyond, in the region and beyond, you know, the congregation knows there's many opportunities we give you, and you respond so well throughout the year of food pantry. Freeman, that's not far away. Clothing drives, we do that. Shoe boxes, Good Samaritan, through Billy Graham's ministry. That goes around the world. We do that every year, don't we? The prison ministry. Women at Church, all the missions they do. The Alpha Center. We stand for the life of the unborn. And on I could go. We give what we have. Jesus says, give me what you have to the disciples, and I'll do the rest. As we're moved with compassion. That's the character of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, sometimes it seems when there's so many needs, and in this era where we live, we see the worldwide needs all the time. Forgive us, Lord, for times becoming insensitive to it all when we're bombarded with it every day. But help us to be sensitive to the needs right around us. Maybe it's a neighbor, Lord, that we would be moved with compassion as we've seen you do here. Thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunities we have to bless others. We have been so blessed incredibly by your goodness. And it causes us to praise your name over and over again. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing number 23. So this is out of the praise book, actually. It's written as a hymn. I think most of you know it. It is In Christ Alone. Beautiful, beautiful song. Let's stand together as we sing this, please. In Christ alone, hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, my cornerstone, my solid ground. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that laid here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, and burst in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. Bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. A guilt in life, a fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Let no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns and calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Amen. No power of hell, man, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand. Praise the Lord. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And we always sing here as we close, it is a prayer for our nation. God bless America.
And guide through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, bright with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. Guide her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam.
Be seated. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. Thank you, Jennifer, for the beautiful music.